Continuing this morning with Canto 3, Chapter 32. There's three verses that are clustered together, 34, 35, and 36. The 2.5-page purport. So we'll cover those verses. Yesterday we heard little summary of the section where Kapila Dev is describing the absolute truth is perceived in different ways depending upon the perceiver, and so different features, although the source is one. We heard this nice example from Laghu Bhagavatamrita, milk, and how milk is one substance, and it's by sight it's one thing, and by touch it's another thing, by smell it's another thing, by taste it's another thing, and then the mind can contain the whole subject matter of milk. So similarly, the whole appreciation of the absolute truth is the personal feature, and there may be less than the personal feature, not wrong, but incomplete realization or understanding of the absolute. We heard that explanation. And that the means of realizing the complete feature is through bhakti. Bhakti is, on the one hand, on the yoga ladder, the topmost of the yoga systems, and likewise, of the realizations, the topmost realization is the Bhagavan feature. The others aren't wrong, but just incomplete. And thus, there's different approaches, different yoga systems over here, different realizations over here, and Kapila Dev wants Devahuti, he wants us, to have full faith in the bhakti process and be very clear with the purpose of all the other yoga systems, and ultimately the bhakti yoga system is realization of the personal feature in full. And by that, just going back a little bit, something that Kapila said earlier, text 25, 26, he said something that's shared by all of these different processes is detachment. Now, detachment from what? Detachment from seeking happiness through senses coming in contact with sense objects. Any legitimate spiritual teaching will have that as an underpinning or an essential element. So that's something they all share. And the means of going about it is different, particular to the yoga system. And the yoga system is attractive to different people because of their different inclinations, their guna and karma and so on. So some are inclined this way, that way, the other way. It's like sacrifice. Similarly, is a principle described in Bhagavad Gita, and some like it this way, some like it that way, but the sacrifice is a principle. Detachment from expecting happiness through sense enjoyment or senses contacting objects, detachment from that is essential. Otherwise, how can one progress? It's like an anchor in rowing. You won't go forward. You may be doing some labor, but you won't progress. You have to pull the anchor. The anchor is this affinity for matter, asat, Krishna. In the language of Harinam Chintamani, the conditioned soul stays stuck in the conditioned state regardless of knowledge or discipline or ritual or sacrifice, you know, the ritualistic sacrifices, as long as the expectation of happiness in an upgrade of one's involvement with matter one will not progress. Progress, so just say it again. All the yoga systems have that in common. So different ways of going about it. And a different sense of what the goal is. So it's important to have a clear sense of goal along with the proper process to reach the goal. I remember Prabhupada saying, and it's really stuck, and I've repeated it many times, say it again. When a goal or the goal is well defined, it's very easy to take steps to reach the goal. If the goal, conversely, if the goal is not well defined, it's very difficult to take steps to get to the goal because you don't even know what the goal is. Prahlad Maharaj's statement, again and again quoted, "Not te vidu svartakatim hi Vishnu." Not te vidu, they don't know. Sva artha, their real self-interest is Vishnu. Self-interest is Vishnu's interest because we're part and parcel of him. Our real self-interest is his interest, and people don't know. So since they don't know the goal, what do? A life of sense gratification. What kind of goal is that? It never happens. A goal that never happens. Here's one of those verses that's a long list of things that are incomplete. Good, but incomplete. Kriyaya kratubir danais. By performing fruitive activities and sacrifices, by distributing charity, by performing austerities, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by subduing the senses, by accepting the renounced order of life, and by performing the prescribed duties of one's social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service, and by exhibiting the process of devotional service containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, by understanding the science of self-realization, and by developing a strong sense of detachment, one who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is represented in the material world as well as in transcendence scriptures. There are different prescribed duties for persons in different social and spiritual orders. Here it is stated that performance of fruitive activities and sacrifices and distribution of charity are activities meant for persons who are in the householder order of society. There are four orders of the social system: brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. For the grihasthas or householders, performance of sacrifices, distribution of charity, and action according to the prescribed duties are especially recommended. Similarly, austerity study of Vedic literature and philosophical research are meant for the vanaprasthas or retired persons. Study of the Vedic literature from the bona fide spiritual master is meant for the brahmachari or student. Atmendriya Jaya, control of the mind and taming of the senses, is meant for persons of the renounced order of life. All these different activities are prescribed for different persons so that they may be elevated to the platform of self-realization and from there to Krishna consciousness devotional service. The topic of Varnashram. the Daivi Varnashram means these various duties have as their purpose, just as in any regulation. We know this from Nectar Devotion, that even the regulations of devotional service, or here the regulations of Varna and Ashram, are meant for what? One thing. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And that's the platform of devotional service. How are you going to always remember someone by attachment to that someone? And it's very easy. And without attachment to that someone, you may try, and for a while, but then the flickering mind is going to go somewhere and go somewhere where there isn't, if there isn't attachment, or where there is attachment to something else. So similarly, these prescribed duties have a purpose. Detachment, self-realization, God-realization of Krishna consciousness. It all leads to this one thing, if done properly. Next paragraph. The words bhakti yogena chaiva hi. Means that whatever is to be performed, as described in verse 34, whether yoga or sacrifice or fruitive activity or study of the Vedic literature or philosophical research or acceptance of the renounced order of life, is to be executed in bhakti yoga. The words chaiva, he, according to Sanskrit grammar, indicate that one must perform all these activities mixed with devotional service. Otherwise, such activities will not produce any fruit. Any fruit in the sense of something permanent, something temporary, but not something permanent. Any prescribed activity must be performed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saying the same thing. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Who knows the verse? 9:27. Yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad jahosi, dadasi, yad. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever austerities you undergo, whatever charities you give, the result should be given to the Supreme Lord. The word eva is added, indicating that one must, in italics, execute activities in such a way. Unless one adds devotional service to all activities, he cannot achieve the desired result. But when bhakti yoga is prominent in every activity, then the ultimate goal is sure. Interesting. So the previous discussion is there's different ways of becoming detached and different objects of realization for the different processes, but the ultimate fruit will not be achieved without bhakti. And conversely, with a predominant influence of bhakti, the goal will be reached. The ultimate goal will be reached. Next paragraph. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Quote, after many, many births, one approaches the Supreme Person, Krishna, and surrenders unto him, knowing that he is everything. Unquote. Also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Moktaram Yagyatapasam, for anyone who is undergoing rigid austerity, for anyone performing different kinds of sacrifices, the beneficiary is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the proprietor of all planets, and he is the friend of every living soul. Paragraph. the words dharme no bhaya che nena mean that the bhakti yoga process contains two symptoms, namely attachment for the Supreme Lord and detachment from all material affinities. There are two symptoms of advancement in the process of devotional service, just as there are two processes taking place while eating. A hungry man feels strength and satisfaction from eating, and at the same time he gradually becomes detached from eating anymore. Similarly, with the execution of devotional service, real knowledge develops and one becomes detached from all material activities. Can anybody think of a verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2 that says the same thing? Knowledge and detachment are the natural byproduct of devotional service. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. For engaging in devotional service to Vasudeva, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha. That verse is a response to one of the questions in chapter 1 of the sages to Sutta: what's the essence of all the vast Vedic scriptures? And there it is: devotional service to Vasudeva. And a byproduct of that devotional service done properly, knowledge awakens, detachment follows, detachment from other things. In no other activity but devotional service is there such detachment from matter and attachment to the Supreme. In other words, there may be processes where one mechanically tries to control the mind and curb the senses. You know, the tapasvis to deprive the senses, to go into extreme circumstances of difficult, physically difficult situations, and just endure it, to control the mind and control the senses. But that doesn't bring attachment to the Supreme. Then you can go the other direction. A yogi may try to fix his mind upon the Supreme. Prabhupada would often give this example of Menaka coming to agitate Vishwamitra Muni and so forth. There are 9 different processes to increase this attachment to the Supreme Lord. He lists them. The processes for increasing detachment from material affinities are explained in verse 36, this series of verses. So the following of regulation has as a purpose of curbing unrestricted tendencies. Yeah, pretty simple. Paragraph. 3 more. One can achieve elevation to the higher planetary systems like the heavenly kingdom by executing one's prescribed duties and by performing sacrifices. That's the not Daivi Varnashram, but just doing the duties. Doing the duties lead to purification, lead to elevation, and prospering from the fruits of those pious activities, religiously, scripturally, dharmically prescribed duties. So it's good to do those duties, but it doesn't lead to the goal of the Vedas, the goal of life. When one is transcendental to such desires, because of accepting the renounced order of life,
he can understand the Brahman feature of the Supreme, and when one is able to see his real constitutional position, he sees all other processes and becomes situated in the stage of pure devotional service. At that time, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. It's really clear, isn't it? I mean, try to say this, if you don't understand it very well, it'll take forever and you still won't explain it well. It's really clear. Next, understanding the Supreme Person is called Atma Tattva Avabodhena, which means, quote, understanding one's real constitutional position, unquote. If one actually understands one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord, he becomes detached from the service of the material world. Everyone engages in some sort of service. If one does not know one's constitutional position, one engages in the service of his personal gross body or his family, society, and country. But as soon as one is able to see his constitutional position, parentheses, the word sva drik means one who is able to see, he becomes detached from such material service and engages himself in devotional service. Now that doesn't mean you stop doing prescribed duties, or you stop your life of responsibility. It means you do those things for Krishna. Small matter. Not understanding you do those things for Krishna, there's the artificial sense of giving them up. And that's palgu vairagya. And proper vairagya is yukta vairagya. You engage in those activities for Krishna. Now it's a razor's edge, or it's a fine edge between, you know, this is a common question that generally follows in this topic. When am I doing something that's because it's my nature and I'm doing it for Krishna, and on the other side of the edge, when am I thinking I'm doing it for Krishna, but really I'm doing it for sense gratification just because I like it, because it suits me, and I call it devotional service. Where's the dividing line? Where's the demarcation line? Well, it's the demarcation is consciousness, and our consciousness is kind of dull, not sharp, so it's fuzzy, so the line is not clear. Rather, what's important is the spirit of cultivation, of same as we discussed yesterday, with self-honesty. The goal is there. I'm down here. I acknowledge what my position is. Don't go either, you know, beat myself up with saying, oh, I'm no good, nor imagining myself to be beyond what my position is. Just being honest with one's position, knowing what the goal is, maintaining a steadiness with one's position, and being eager to take a step towards the goal. That's the cultivation element of the bhakti process. Anushilana, in the words of Rupa Goswami, Krishna Anushilana. You read carefully in the introduction to Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada translates that word. He doesn't say the verse, but he translates that word as a cultivation. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. That's Anushilana. Shila or Shilana means conduct or behavior. And Anu means follow. Anushilana is following the great souls. We cultivate the example and the teachings of the great souls, those that are guiding us and our spiritual master and the founder Acharya and the previous Acharyas and so forth, the personalities from the Bhagavatam and the scriptures, we anushilana, we cultivate like that. Not pretend or imitate, but we cultivate. Next step, next step, next step. One step at a time. Final paragraph. As long as one is in the modes of material nature and is performing the duties prescribed in the scriptures, sounds like us, right? As long as one is in the modes of material nature and is performing the duties prescribed in the scripture, he can be elevated to higher planetary systems where the predominating deities are material representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the sun god, the moon god, the air god, Brahma, and Lord Shiva. All the different demigods are material representations of the Supreme Lord. By material activities, one can approach only such demigods as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Devavrata Devan, those who are attached to the demigods and who perform the prescribed duties can approach the abodes of the demigods. In this way, one can go to the planets of the Pitas or forefathers. Similarly, one who fully understands the real position of his life adopts devotional service and realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's just science, huh? I mean, it's all embracing. In our immaturity, we may be, you know, immature and not properly understand the bhakti process and therefore be exclusive. And that's okay. In the earlier stages of just like Prabhupada gives the example, if you put a plant or a small tree in the ground, commonly you put a fence around it because animals will come and chomp away at the small plant or the small tree and it'll die. So in the initial stages, just for protection purposes, there's a little fence. But as that tree grows in maturity, then it can stand on its own without a fence, no problem. Similarly, in the immature state, there's conscious and perhaps also unconscious efforts to keep other things away. But in the mature stage, then this very nice explanation of the diverse processes that may lead one to a lesser position. It's not, for the mature person, we don't snub them and say, oh, boo. We just understand they're limited by the scope of specifically the desire or the lack of understanding the goal, the purpose of those activities. And the purpose, the higher purpose of those activities aren't understood for two reasons. One is too much attached to the expectation of sense gratification. So even if one is told, one will say, no. And the other is, there aren't sufficient educators who know the goal and can properly explain the goal without chastising somebody for doing something less than what the goal is, to help them understand, that's fine. Here's what the teaching of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam says. That can take you to here. And the advocacy of Krishna is, don't aspire for any of those positions, ultimately. Abrahma bhuvanau loka purnar arvartan arjuna. From the lowest to the highest, up to Brahma loka, what to speak of Swarga loka. Brahmaloka, therein repeated birth and death take place. So whatever it is that you attain, it's temporary and then it's taken. Same problem there as here. It may look attractive, but it's... So thoughtful people can consider these things, and especially if they hear, if the thoughtful person hears from somebody who's not, you know, with a club in their hand, but is an educator, and is as Kapila Dev is doing, and as Prabhupada is very beautifully doing in this purport, there's merit. On the other hand, there's no fruit, no transcendental fruit. It's part of the irritation for people when they hear such messages as the Bhagavatam presents, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, Not Padiyad Yadi Ratim, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, Vishvaksina Kata Suya. If one doesn't, if those activities, high grade, Prabhupada calls them, this nice long list, if one does those things, prescribed duties according to Varna and Ashram, but the attraction for transcendence doesn't awaken, the hearing the messages of the Supreme Lord doesn't awaken, no fruit. Shrama evahi kevalam, useless. Strong language. But this is the transcendental perspective, meaning the purpose of these intermediate steps are to help one come to the transcendental position. That's what the Bhagavatam, from the very outset, this book is not going to speak anything about achieving something temporary. If that's what you're interested in, don't bother reading any further, because we're not going to discuss that. We're going to discuss Paradharma. So the other dharmas are meant to bring one to that. That's the message of the Bhagavatam, and it's true. Steps towards the goal. So what's the goal? And the goal was well identified right from the very beginning. And everything within the Bhagavatam is to help one understand the goal and how to reach the goal. If you're in some other position than the goal position, that's okay. Understand then without resentment, and without being bashed, both sides, the receiving and giving side, the same as how we speak the message of the Bhagavatam. It should be with clarity as to the purpose of elevating activities, performance of prescribed duties, living a responsible life as a householder, for example. Such a common thing. A religious message. And there's a number of religions in the world today. They're revered in society because they value family values and all those nice things, because in Kali Yuga things fall apart so quickly. Religious principles aren't observed, and people come together not for any religious purpose at all. And so it's horrible without the details. And so seeing the horrible condition when there's an offering of family values, well, that's attractive. God's in the picture, that's fantastic. So it becomes attractive. The Bhagavatam doesn't say don't do those things. The Bhagavatam says here, clearly, do those things and all the other recommended Vedic recommended activities for individuals according to their position, not for the purpose of enjoying life in this and the next life. Put Krishna's enjoyment at the center. One self-interest is Krishna's interest, or Vishnu's interest. Natte vidu svartha gatim. Sva arta. Arta means benefit. Commonly in the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, Artha is taken to be economic development, because that's what people want. But Artha, literal meaning, is goal. or benefit. And the real benefit, self-benefit, self-interest, sva-artha, people don't know. They think in terms of something temporary. The default position, when the goal isn't understood, it's something selfish. So self-realization carries one beyond the selfish into the transcendental. In the pinnacle of the transcendental is the personality of Godhead and his devotional service. We're very fortunate, like mega fortunate, because whatever our position may have been before contact with this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam's message and Bhagavad Gita's message, we also didn't know the goal. And whatever our position may be, materially or religiously or motive nature wise, right away we're brought to the position of devotional service. We're connected to that process, and then we start to understand what it is. Instead of become like many, many, many lifetimes of qualified to receive devotional service, and then we can value what it is. Prabhupada compares it to the elevator compared to the staircase. I heard him speak of this in New York. So you go to the Empire State Building. Anyone seen the Empire State Building? Went to the top? Yeah. I had to visit somebody in an office once. So there's the stairway, of course, and then there's elevators that go to certain floors, and then there's elevators that take you to another set of elevators, to another set of elevators that take you. And they go, you can hear the sound. It's real fast, up to floor whatever it is, 40 or something, and then you get out, you go to another bank of elevators that take you further. So you can walk up, or you can take the elevator. And bhakti process is the elevator process. We step in, and we're taken to this very elevated position of devotional service. We're not qualified for it. So we have to be conscientious of trying to make ourselves qualified. But as we're trying to make ourselves qualified, we should be very clear what the goal is. Then transcendental fruit can come. So I'll end and see if there's any discussion or questions. Can you hear what he's saying? Yeah, okay. To protect the bhakti lata, we have to refrain from doing certain things.
Yeah. So, but actually, we are the ones who should make the fence, but we are constantly forced by our material modes of nature. So our behavior itself is, we are forced to act in certain way. So how can ourselves will protect the...
I got the question. Conditioned souls make mistakes. One of the defects, you make mistakes. So being pushed by the modes of nature because of our past involvement in material activity, those pushings will be there. So it's the anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam part of surrender. We actively don't take part in those things which will take us away from bhakti, and we actively take part in those things which will take us closer to bhakti. And we cultivate that way. Even we may make some mistakes. So it's the bhakti principle, specifically that quote comes from Padma Purana that describes principles of surrender. So it's the force that carries us beyond those tendencies is our commitment to Krishna and surrender to Him. Doesn't Krishna say that in Bhagavad Gita? Daivihi eshu gunamayi gunamayi mama maya durateya mami vee prapadyante. So there's the answer. We surrender to Krishna and cultivate accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. We'll still make mistakes. But it's the power of surrender and Krishna's reciprocation of protection, then we can cross beyond that circumstance of our contamination, our conditioned tendencies. They'll still be there, but gradually they dissipate in strength. Yes.
One is, so for all this understanding the goal and...
Speak loud enough so they can hear in the back.
Taking steps towards the goal. So I think you mentioned yesterday something towards the end that the proper conception of the spiritual master is the key. If someone has the material conception or they don't see the spiritual master, you know, with a proper conception, the progress is very slow, or actually we cannot see the thing that they are. So my question is that I'm coming with various material conceptions, and you know it's
similar to his question. It's not the same.
So even while hearing, also everything evaluates through this material lens. So how does one come to the spiritual conception?
By regular hearing. We have faith in that process of Shravanam Kirtanam. So we attentively engage in that process of Shravanam Kirtanam, and then we try to apply it, recognizing, you know, I'm going to make some mistakes. I have these contaminations. I have this vision that's material. But so that's the recognition, acceptance. Then, rather than try to, you know, convince myself that I don't, just acknowledge that I do, and then from that position, engage in the cleansing process. Shravanam Kirtanam, Jeta Darpanam Arjanam. There's a nice verse amongst many nice verses in Krishna's teachings to Uddhava in the 11th canto, where, paraphrasing his statement, what does one do? Both similar types of questions. What does one do when one recognizes one has this contamination or affinity for my own contamination? Even I know better, I still have an affinity for it. Krishna explains to Uddhava, one should acknowledge it and regret it and recognize my progress towards the goal is going to be limited, but I don't have resentment about the goal or the process to reach the goal. Envy is not there of Krishna, and similarly the process. So, you know, going back to the initial part of your question, how we see Krishna can be understood to some degree how we see the spiritual master and vice versa. We're not going to see Krishna properly if you don't see the spiritual master properly. We're not going to see the spiritual master properly if we have an attitude toward Krishna. So we're you know, double bondage, double jeopardy. But the starting point is through the door. Krishna gives his mercy through that method, through descending representation of him. And he wants it that way, and therefore it's that way. And so that's where our attention needs to go, carefully. And we apply ourselves to the process properly, trying to tadvidhi, that person who wants to know, vidh means to know, pranipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya. We cultivate like that. Submission, inquiry, and service. Really simple. Boom, boom, boom. Service. We act according to what we've heard. We cultivate to internalize and take that message within our heart and live. That's the medicine for the disease.